chipper bright and early this morning. So today I'm going to be talking about developmental change in the effects of sexual partnership characteristics on sexual risk behavior in young men who have sex with men as part of some work that I've been conducting with my long-term collaborator and mentor, Brian Mastansky, at the Impact Program at Northwestern. I hate this slide because I wish I had some massive financial conflict of interest to disclose. It would be better than my current professor's salary. I don't really need to do a lot in talking about HIV, in terms of talking about HIV epidemiology in young men who have sex with men, because Perry and Amy have done a nice job of doing that already. But just to highlight with one bullet point, HIV incidence in the United States is currently highest amongst young men who have sex with men, and especially amongst young men who have sex with men of color. What I do want to point out, though, is that it's been estimated that 68% of new HIV infections occur in the context of main or primary partnerships. The 68% estimate was conducted in 2009 by Patrick Sullivan and his colleagues at Emory, and it's been estimated that perhaps this might be a bit lower. However, we do know that amongst young men who have sex with men between the ages of 18 and 29, this rate of new infections occurring in the context of main or serious partnerships is substantially higher than in adult relationships. And why might this be? I think oftentimes people think of being in a relationship, particularly if it's a sexually monogamous relationship, as being a protective factor against HIV and other STIs. But it actually makes quite a bit of sense. We know that in relationships, anal sex is substantially more likely, having sex without a condom is substantially more likely, and having sex with that partner multiple times is substantially more likely. On top of that, amongst young men who have sex with men, the CDC has estimated that 51% of HIV-positive MSM ages 18 to 24 are unaware of their HIV status. So a lot of these young men who are HIV infected may be entering into relationships and not using condoms with their serious partners and unknowingly infecting those partners with HIV. So as a bit of background, several years ago, some colleagues of mine then at the University of Illinois at Chicago saw this data, data coming out that indicated that serious relationships were a major risk factor for HIV, especially amongst young men who have sex with men, and we wanted to understand that a little bit better. We wanted to understand what are the specific characteristics of sexual partners and characteristics of relationships that may place an individual at risk for not using condoms in those relationships. And what we found is that by far and away the largest predictor of having condomless sex with a partner was considering that relationship to be serious. So among serious partnerships, the rate of condomless anal sex was about 8 times higher compared to more casual partner types. However, a number of other characteristics of sexual partners and characteristics of relationships emerged as significant predictors of condomless anal sex as well. So larger partner age differences, having older partners, predicted higher rates of condomless sex, drug use before sex, as well as aspects of intimate partner violence. So these findings that I just presented were conducted with a one-year follow-up of a longitudinal study of ours, and now we have about 5 years of follow-up with that longitudinal study. So we know that during the age periods of adolescence and emerging adulthood, there's a lot of change that occurs. So adolescence and emerging adulthood are periods of very rapid and profound change. And these changes occur both in terms of psychosocial changes, so being exposed to different contexts, gaining more independence from parents, which allows more opportunities for engagement in risk behaviors, as well as neurocognitive changes. So we know that the cognitive control system doesn't come fully online until about age 25, give or take, which has important implications for long-term planning and assessment of risk. And one of the primary developmental tasks of late adolescence and emerging adulthood is to develop romantic relationship skills. So it would make sense that adolescent and emerging adult relationships differ substantially from those of adults, and these differences may have important influences for HIV risk. Just as a quick example of this, we know that amongst adolescents in particular, patterns of serial monogamy or rapid primary partner turnover are much higher than than the patterns of relationships in adults. And this type of rapid partner primary turnover has important implications for HIV risk if we also know that condomless sex is substantially more likely in serious relationships. So the primary research question that I had for these analyses are, in the context of our previous findings at the one-year follow-up, did the effects of these partnership characteristics on sexual risk behavior change as young people move from late adolescence into emerging adulthood? So the data came from the exact same data set that I was referencing previously. This is Project Q2. Project Q2 is a longitudinal study of 248 LGBT youth in the Chicago area, though many of them have now since moved out of the Chicago area. They were ages 16 to 20 at baseline, and it broadly focuses on tracking the health and development of this population. So the data that I'm going to present today are from the 118 young men who have sex with men in this sample, and I'll be using data from 7 waves of data collection, which spans about 4 years. Our retention in the sample has really been kind of a hallmark of this data. So we had 91% retention of the sample at 1 year follow-up and 83% retention of the sample at 4 years, and that actually increased our retention, increased in our 5-year follow-up, which we just completed recently. In terms of sample characteristics, this is a majority racial minority sample. So the largest percentage of participants are black or African American, followed by white, Latino, and other racial groups. At baseline, about 68% of the sample identified as gay. And there's actually few demographic differences between the baseline and the 4-year follow-up when you actually just look at kind of the cross-sectional snapshot. However, we do know that there is substantial drift in terms of self-identified sexual orientation and self-identified gender identity over time. So the design that we use to model sexual risk behavior amongst these YMSM is what we call the partner level model. So this is a quote-unquote event-level approach. So the reason I put quotes around that is because we're not looking at the specific sexual encounter. Instead, we're considering the event to be the partnership. So it's an event-level approach to examining sexual risk, in which at each one of our waves of data collection, participants think back about the previous 6 months and then detail the characteristics of up to 3 sexual partners that they may have had in the preceding 6 months. And for each one of those sexual partners, we ask them about their sexual behavior, including use of condoms and other protective methods, characteristics of those partners, and then characteristics of their relationships with those partners. So because there's multiple dependencies in this data and this type of repeated measures data, it necessitates a multi-level modeling approach. And the multi-level model that I'm using to model this data is admittedly a little complicated. It's a 3-level model, which means that we're observing multiple sexual partners within participants at level 1, and these are nested within waves of data collection, which occur during a concrete period of time at level 2, and those waves of data collection are further nested within participants. And the primary outcome here that I'll be talking about is the number of condomless anal intercourse acts within each one of these male partnerships. And I apologize if I periodically flip into saying unprotected sex, old habits kind of die hard, so I'll put that disclaimer out there. So in terms of the main findings from these analyses, we first wanted to replicate our findings from the 1-year follow-up. So these that I'm presenting right here are simply the main effects of various partnership characteristics on rate of condomless anal intercourse. And so again, we find that relationship status is by far the strongest predictor of condomless anal intercourse, in this case about 13 times the rate of condomless anal intercourse in serious relationships relative to more casual relationship types. And again, we find some of the same partner and relationship characteristics as important predictors of condomless anal intercourse. So larger partner age differences and aspects of intimate partner violence. In this next table, I'm showing the interactions with participant age at each wave. So this is modeling developmental change in these effects. So in the first, we see that there is developmental change in the affective relationship status on condomless anal intercourse. Thank you. Meaning that the overall effect size decreases somewhat over time as these young people move into emerging adulthood. And then we find the opposite pattern for each one of the other partnership level predictors of condomless anal intercourse. So each one of these other predictors increases in strength over time in terms of their effects on condomless anal intercourse. And I'll talk a little bit about these effects on the next slide. So what does this all mean? So first, we found that there is a change in the effect of serious relationship status on condomless anal intercourse over time, and that the effect size actually decreased over time. When you look at the actual rates, this is driven by a small increase in the rate of condomless anal intercourse with casual partners, but the overall rate of condomless anal intercourse within serious partnerships remains consistent over time. And I think this makes a lot of sense because as people kind of move into adolescence and into adulthood, we know that they wait a bit longer before they start defining their relationship as serious. So that adds a lot more gray area into that casual partner type. So with casual partners, you may become more likely to have condomless sex as you know them a bit longer and become more familiar with them over time. We also saw a change in each one of the other variables. So the strength of having older partners, meeting partners online, and aspects of intimate partner violence, each one of these effects increased in their strength over time, which I just said. And I think this also makes a lot of sense that as young people move from adolescence into emerging adulthood, there's a lot of contextual shifts that occur. So they're leaving their homes for the first time. They're gaining more independence from their parents. If they were in college, they're probably moving out of their college dorm. And this may make YMSM more vulnerable to certain partnership influences on risk. If you think about meeting partners online, for example, you're probably unlikely to, if you're living at home with your parents, to have that person that you met on Grindr come over immediately, and that might be an influence on whether or not you engage in condomless anal sex with that individual. But as you live alone, it's a lot easier for that person to kind of come over immediately and have sex with you. And if you're not fully able to navigate the interpersonal dynamics at age, say, 20, 21, that you would require in order to have a safer type of sex, then that may have an influence on your behavior. So there are some limitations with these data. There's some certain analytic limitations. So this is a sample of 118 YMSM, which is a relatively low number. However, we have followed them up over 4 years, so it provides us with a lot of data points. But when you do estimate a three-level model, you need a whole ton of power to get it to converge. We were able to get it to converge, but I'm guessing just barely. And there was some limited endorsement of relationship violence in this sample. If you look at the overall percentages, they're quite high and they're what you would expect, but it's within the same people over time, which makes it very difficult to estimate precisely that effect within persons over time. However, I think from these data, it's clear that late adolescence and emerging adulthood are very vulnerable periods for YMSM. And this has important implications for dyadic HIV preventative interventions. So for young people who are just getting into serious relationships, it's a really unique opportunity to work with them in order to keep them safe from either HIV acquisition or HIV transmission. And also in individual level interventions for young people before they get into relationships, it's important that we prepare them for all of the interpersonal dynamics that they'll encounter. So I just wanted to thank my longtime colleague and co-author, Brian Mastansky, our fabulous data manager, and all the various funders that we've had for this study over the last 5 years.